Good evening, Razorback fans. Welcome to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, live from the Sterling Soap Roastery Studios, part of the Believe and Buzz Radio Networks, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I'm Porter Hayes, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Hall, and we are also brought to you by BetOnline. Continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And you could see our header. We look like we're going to start off with the Hog Sweep Mizzou news. But we've had a lot of portal news. We've had a lot of things happening today, breaking news. Two major factors in women's college basketball team at Arkansas, in Talia Scott and Sailor Poffenbarger, have entered the portal. I guess you can add Jersey officially. Mm-hmm. Was announced to the transfer portal, but she has been gone since the beginning of the season. So if you theoretically throw it out there, three of the starters from this year's team is now officially in the portal. And we mentioned last week that it was a touchy subject for me to really kind of talk about and not discuss into it too deep. But when you have, especially like Talia, we've seen kind of had inklings, you know, but again, when you hear the thing about a family emergency or this, you don't want to speculate, what does this really mean? Is it a family emergency that turns into being homesick and going into the portal, or was it something that just things weren't going well and it led to transferring the portal? Sailor Poffenbarger, again, another one. I mean, kind of shocking, but, you know, it really isn't. If I take my rose colored glasses off, it's not shocking. Now you've lost 30 points a game off of your team, mm-hmm. a team that hasn't made the NCAA tournament, hasn't won a game in the NCAA tournament, and they're slated to play in the WBIT, which we had talked about last week, and they will take on Tulsa. So it's going to be interesting how this plays out. Adam, to get your thoughts on the whole thing that is going on with that.
Well, I mean, you know, we touched on actually almost, I guess, the past couple few weeks on Talia. You know, I know it's been a touchy subject, not really knowing everything that's going on. But, you know, just my two cents on it was, you know, the going dark on social media, coming back, then going back out, injury, the family stuff. I don't know. There's just... Yeah. Like I said, a lot of it was the transfer portal PTSD for Razorback fans, but I just kind of looked at it like something's got to be going on. It just wasn't sitting right with me from what I've seen with players that were active on social media for the most part. Then just to go dark like that, it just kind of led me to think that there's something more brewing here, and it's true now that we see. I think that, you know, the way that the season's gone, it's frustration on a lot of people's parts because you got players like, you know, Matt said in the comments, you're bringing players in, but you're not keeping them. And I think all around that something maybe even bigger is brewing that we don't know about yet. Because obviously I don't think you're going to get into much talk with if there is a potential coaching issue until after this tournament. There's the timing of it. With them going to the WBIT just kind of threw me for a loop because I didn't expect to see it today.
Yeah, and to be honest, and this is, again, hard, but I just being completely real out there and transparent. I mean, when I say this, it's not being just a strictly defender of it. It's the fact that we still have to look at women's basketball as a non-revenue-generated sport. And the fact that you look at his buyout, what did you say it was?
$1.2 million for two seasons.
Say it's $700,000 or whatever. And then I think there was someone saying it drops down to like $150,000 or something like that in the 2025 season, or his contract's up. You know that has to be a factor in, okay, yes. I mean, yes, this team is going downward on a trajectory, but with all the renovations going on with, you know, they're thinking about with Bud Walton Arena, all the other buyouts that they have been going on, does he fork out that money to buy out this contract? That's got to be the question. I mean, because love Mike to death. It's just the fact that when you see what's come in and come out, and you see the players that have come in, and I know injuries happen, and I know, but you got to at least make the tournament. I mean, that's the thing. Like, that's the hardest part to grasp. And, you know, it's one of them that I wanted for so long for them to have a year that just, it was like silenced everybody. You know what I'm saying? And I guess I took my own personal feelings into this when I said that. I wanted them to be successful, and I wanted them to, because for 5 years it's been nothing but, you know, negative things toward, I mean, there's been some, you know, with the ride or die fans, but the general public, you know, but, you know, you got to look back and really take a step back and look at it. And even last year, you know, I just go back to that Missouri game last year at the SEC Women's Tournament, and when they were down 9 points and he was just pacing back and forth. I mean, I just had this eerie feeling if they would have lost that game, it's hard to sit there and say, would he have been gone after that moment? Because Hunter was there. Mm-hmm. And they come back and won that game, and I'm not saying, I don't know. I'm just going off the feeling. Me and Ethan were sitting side by side there at the tournament, and it's just a feeling we got of just the dejection on his face, and his head was hanging down. And so you come into this year, and you have Talia come in just bawling, and you're like, okay, this is gonna be something. And even with the injuries, and I know Sasha went out, and of course Jersey, and then Talia went down, you still had a squad good enough to make the tournament. And it's hard when you're seeing teams like a Vanderbilt, and Shea Ralph is my hero. I've got a picture of her team when she played college ball, one of my favorite teams in UConn history. You know, seeing teams like that, and Auburn with Joni, you know, she coached here in Arkansas and now is at Auburn. You know, you see the other teams overcoming those obstacles, and it's hard to see it in your own program. Because again, I mean, he was the one that got me into this. He was the one that, you know, got me into the women's programs where I was able to start covering them. So it is, I am biased toward it, but you have to, as what we do, be real about it. I can't, because I would be lying, and it wouldn't do anybody any good that if I'm sitting here saying, just give it one more year, I'd be a Dallas Cowboys fan.
You know, it's one of those that we sit back and we have to take the fan glasses off at some point. And it's frustrating to see. I mean, the girls that have come in and out of the program that have given their all, and it just doesn't work out. Because we all know, I mean, the coaches take this, in my opinion, probably the hardest, well, behind the players. But, you know, I look at it like, I think if we keep dragging it out, it's going to be the same thing. And how much further of a hole is this team going to be in? Keep sitting back and just, you know, sit around and wait. And I don't know who, you know, if we had to get into the conversation of replacements, I don't know where you go with it. I think that as Arkansas fans and as a lot of fan bases, you start immediately looking at Arkansas folks. And I don't think that's necessarily always the answer. And I think that's kind of what got us into some of the predicaments that we've been in with different programs, not just the women's basketball. So I think that Hunter needs to take a hard look at everything and figure out, are we doing this now or potentially in 2 years? Because, I mean, we've got Texas and OU coming in, and you hoped that you had a lot of these teams, these situations figured out beforehand, and we're still having these conversations a year later almost.
The toughest part of it is this. is the fact that you, if you do make the decision, you got to make the decision when Arkansas is still a desirable job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you wait next year? Who could you get next year? Unless it's a coach and waiting kind of thing. I mean, if this thing keeps on going and you're seeing other programs to the rise, and again, with the addition of OU and Texas, which are no slouches when it comes to the women's game at all, who are you going to get to come in? And it's hard because, you know, you need somebody like a Shea Ralph that has went into Vanderbilt and turned that program. That's the beauty of the transfer portal. You have the ability not just to be over Vanderbilt or over Auburn, over Georgia. You can turn a program around in 2 years. You could turn a program around a year. It does. I mean, you get two or three kids to come in to believe in your system that have averaged 15, 20 points a game. That's a game changer, especially in the SEC, and we've seen it done. I mean, look what LSU's been able to do in the transfer portal with Reese and Van Lith. You know, they've excelled their program into a national championship team last year. Mm-hmm. You know, South Carolina's been able to be UConn and just kind of recruit and get their own players. You know, they're like the Alabama of women's college basketball now. But I wish everything the best. I wish there was a turnaround. I wish that there was one more year, and there might be. I'm just telling you that if it doesn't, listen, there is a financial reason behind why it's not. I guarantee you, look, I'd be the last person that would say it. Anybody who knows me knows if what I'm saying, I would be the last person that you would think that would say these things. But if a move's not made, it's a financial decision. And nothing wrong, you know, and I don't think people should go hate on Hunter Yurcheck because of it. It's a financial, it's a lot of money where you could put it other programs. And I know it's sad to say that, but it's not saying that women's basketball doesn't matter, but it's like, you're going to be turning around anyway next year. Why would you wait and then bring somebody in next year?
Mm-hmm. I think it's wholeheartedly a financial discussion that's probably going on. If it hasn't happened already, they put themselves. I mean, obviously, you go into the best intentions with coach. You hire him. You hope that everything works out. But it hasn't, and it's that perfect storm with renovations, with other teams joining the SEC, that if we keep just sitting around and waiting, the school as a whole has done that too often, sat around and waited, and they've been behind on a lot of things. And I think you have to just go ahead and nip it in the bud and move on.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I don't think it's necessarily going to get any better. I think that what has happened has peaked, under this administration with Neighbors.
Well, no, because this was, you look at what they didn't do hardly any recruiting this year because they knew what they had coming back next year. Mm-hmm. You had Sam back, you had Sailor back, you had Sasha back, you had Talia back. You had everybody coming back. Jenna, Emery, you had all these mm-hmm. people. Mac was the only one that was going to be like gone after this season. So when it comes to the fact of recruiting, you got a couple of good studs coming in. It's just the fact that when you look at what's coming, it's almost like what we talked about with the Mims, the basketball team. Who's going to come in next year and really carry this team that gets you excited for what's about to happen? Or, like you said, do you just go ahead and kind of pull the trigger now? I don't know. I mean, we'll see within the next couple of weeks. I mean, we might even see within the next week. I mean, I'm sure. But I just think if there is a decision to keep, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, y'all feel how you want to.
We don't get paid enough.
Well, and I can't be mad at it. I'm not going to lie. It freaking sucks that we're having to have this conversation. I mean, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to. I didn't want to have it last year. You can talk to you, mm-hmm. Kevin Bohannon, Kyle Sutherland, all my dudes that I was like, man, because it's a sucky decision. And I guess that's what happens when you do get attached to these teams. If something were to happen and Coach Dyfel left the softball program, I would be just as devastated. I mean, you get close to these teams that you've watched come from nothing and build it. And I've seen the stellar moments that Dungy had and you know, making it the SEC championship tournament, championship game. You know, I've seen those things, and it gets you only so far.
Mm-hmm. So, a lot of decisions to be made. I mean, I think the focus right now is going to be on the tournament that they're in. But, you know, this is obviously going to be in the back or not, if not even the forefront of Coach Neighbor's mind, you know, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I haven't seen whether or not, I mean, I'm assuming the two players, Talia and Saylor, are done. I don't know if they'll play in this tournament. I don't know how all that's going to work out. So, because then, I mean, what? We've been rolling 7 people on our roster with injuries and whatnot. So they're going to be looking at 5 to 6 players.
Well, and from talking to Coach Neighbors during the whole jersey thing, you know, what he said in the press conference was as soon as they say they're wanting to go to the portal, he sends them to compliance. I mean, so it's pretty much they're no longer on the team. He sends them to compliance. That way they can do all that, get into the portal and do everything the right way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's – when it comes to that, that's where that comes in. But I was going to bring up something real quick before we switched it over, but you can even go back to a player like Marquisha Davis that – you know, yes, had some troubles off the court and stuff like that, but you go back and look at, you know, her going to Ole Miss, averaging 15 a game. Mm-hmm. You know, Aaron Barnum, double-double machine, all SEC, went to Mississippi State, balling out. I mean, there's just players that have come and gone that have continued to have success at their next school.
Well, I know that if they're rolling with 5 in this tournament, it's not going to be – it's going to be a quick exit because, I mean, it's just for the fact of stamina and whatnot in a college game, you can't rely on 5 athletes to be out there and play an entire game by themselves.
Exactly.
Especially if you start getting into foul trouble, you're just asking for issues and God forbid somebody gets hurt.
Yeah. And we've seen that.
Yeah.
But we'll move on. We'll finish the segment with, you know, some number one news. I mean, let's go from a low to a high. I mean, what's lower than we're thinking that there's going to be a coaching change to, hey, we swept Missouri. And anytime you can beat Missouri at anything, it's sweet. I mean, I know it'd be the sweetest in football, but to be able to get the opening SEC series sweep over Missouri, 8-0, 6-0, 9-1 to open up SEC play, another dominant performance by the pitching staff, Hagan Smith, Thanos, I mean, Tigert. Anybody that steps on that mound, it's almost like they're good for 5-6 Ks. I mean, it's mm-hmm. the norm what we have seen this year from this pitching staff. And then, hey, we got some bats. We finally got some bats going. Kendall Diggs, 313 on the week, 3 home runs, homered in 3 mm-hmm. consecutive games. And as Arkansas goes 4-0 for the week, of course, with their win earlier in the week against Oral Roberts 4-2, again, what more can you say about this team?
You know, tuning into the game on Friday and Saturday, I think Saturday especially, you know, you're sitting there and you're just waiting for some bats. You're waiting for some offense. And I think it was the 6th inning when it finally came alive. And you're just – you know, those games early on, you're like, oh, is this the game that they get us? And then just out of nowhere, it's just whether it be, you know, a big double or triple or, you know, just the home run that starts it going. And then it's just like, let the floodgates open. Mm-hmm. And I was just waiting for that. You know, it was you hate to say it was a disappointment, but, you know, when Mizzou got that home run in the 3rd game, I was just like, oh, yeah. There it goes. You know, three straight days of shutouts. But I think, you know, the calendar year We're looking at like 11-1 against Mizzou. So the football is just the glaring one. But it's one of those things that anytime you can, you know, shut up some Mizzou fans, you know, it's always a good weekend. And, you know, it's a, I think a good team to start SEC play against, work out some things before you head to Auburn this week. So, and then, you know, I think Auburn went 1-2 in their series this week. So, or last weekend, you know, I've been kind of not skeptical, but when I see, you know, the starting pitcher go out for Arkansas, whoever it is, I start to get a little bit leery, just because we shuffle through 3-4 pitchers after, you know, the 5th, 6th inning. But I figure that's going to thin out as the season goes on. But, you know, as long as they're getting the wins, I'm not going to question it.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Cabo, you know, he was talking about before the season started, you know, we're going to see a deep pitching rotation. Mm-hmm. And being able – this is kind of – you think about the weakness that they've had at just the depth and the pitching rotation. This could really help. If you've got 6-7 guys you're pitching around – and they're all having decent success or having big success, using these guys in these midweek games to develop them does nothing but help your rotation when you come to these SEC series. And to add a couple of notes to this series is this is the 7th consecutive SEC opening weekend series win for Arkansas. They have not lost an SEC opening weekend series at Baumwalker since 2013. I mean, I know it kind of rotates, you know, some years you don't play, but still a very, very impressive stat when you're talking about SEC. This ain't home openers. This is SEC home openers. So just shows you the dominance of this program, but to have the pitching depth and now if they can get their bats going and become that team, I mean, I know it's early in the SEC play, but man, what a time to be alive.
Oh yeah. You know, and it's, I know, I think it was a Friday night. I think there was a lot of fans that got some PTSD on drop fly ball.
I think that would be a forever thing. I don't think
that's ever going to go away, but you know, didn't come back to bite us. So that's always a good thing. But the bats will, I mean, I can't, it's weird to say they'll get there because they've, you know, been there. It's just, you know, they go a little stagnant for a little bit and then it explodes. I think it'll even out as the season goes on. But, you know, so far I'm happy with where they're at. I think that they're, out of the games that I've watched, and it has, I've watched a few of the top teams around here and there. I feel like Arkansas is the most complete team that I've watched so far.
Yeah,
that you're fielding, you're pitching, and you're batting. It's all there for the most part. Whereas other teams, they do have some glaring holes.
Well, and it's SEC, man. You're gonna drop a game. You're gonna drop a series. I mean, it's bound to happen. I mean, you might win every series. I mean, it's happened, but it's just, you know, things are you're gonna drop one of these midweek games. It's just gonna happen. That's the way it is. You know, but you're sitting 17-2 on the year, and you've got 6 guys batting over 300. I mean, that's pretty good. And then you got Peyton Stovall coming in, 321, and even Wagner, you know, the little bit that he's got in, he's got 13 at-bats, he's hitting 308. So you know that when you're I'm looking at this starting rotation, and your top 6 guys – none of them have below a 2.75 ERA. I mean, and you got 4 of them. Fisher's at 1.76. Will McIntyre's pitching 1.75. Hagen Smith's 1.57. And Brady Tigert's a 0.73 ERA. I mean, it's just – they're mowing them down. I mean, and you think about it. I mean, it seems like it's a lot right now, but Tigert's only 15 strikeouts away from Hagen Smith. You know, good couple of series, and he could catch up to him. You know, but when you got 3 guys, Will McIntyre's at 27 strikeouts, Tigert 35, and Hagen Smith at 50, and Mason Molina at the bottom, 2.74 ERA, but he's got 43 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. stupid.
You know, I don't know if you saw the video that went around Friday night of Haken Smith, but you know you're on and you know everything's working for you when you're holding your glove up and you're about to throw your pitch and you're smiling behind your glove. Like, you just know that in this moment, like, they can't touch you. That everything you're throwing is just, I mean, complete gas.
There's nothing.
It's good to see. The confidence is good to see. You can, I mean, confidence, cockiness,
love it.
Swagger. I love it. Absolutely love it.
As long as you can back it up, it's, hey, go for it. Because you know what? We've seen it happen. And that's the thing. Even when Tennessee was doing their stuff, I loved it. I want baseball to be that sport where you wanted the rivalry. Man, nobody loved anything more than like the LSU series and Arkansas series because it was heated. Arkansas Ole Miss when it was heated. Look what Tennessee-Arkansas did when they hated each other. You want, I mean, when Van Horn and Vitello got in each other's faces, I mean, you want that. As much as you say sportsmanship, you want there to be drama. You want there to be hatred. And seeing that team, yeah, look, hitting a home run and knowing it's gone. You get a piece of the ball and you know it's gone. Shooting a shot and you know it's going in. And then, of course, you just know your stuff. You're just ready to snipe somebody and strike them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to walk it off. Like, yeah, I mean, when you know you've got them guys figured out and they can't do anything about it, dude has every right to be sitting up there like he is. I love mm-hmm. it. I love what we're seeing out of this baseball team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, keep doing it until somebody can shut you up. Yep. I mean, that's the way it should be. You know, if the other teams have an issue with it, then shut them up.
Yep.
Otherwise, just go up there and get, you know, struck out, sit down.
Yeah. And if it happens, look, Monday, we're going to be on here. Man, they got us. Mm-hmm. They just had their best stuff, you know.
You know, I've wondered since the Tennessee, you know, Vitello and Van Horn going at it. I've wondered if the SEC looked at that and were like, okay, we got to back that off. Because since then, we have not – I don't think we've played a series except one that was already scheduled after that.
Well, I mean, think except a little bit it has to do with SEC or Tennessee cheating.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I'm just being for real. You know, they had this strength and they were doing some things. I mean, I'm not saying everybody doesn't do it. I'm just saying they were the ones that got in trouble for it and they were doing some things. They ain't been the same since. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're good, but they're not the dominant – since they went on that run and got outed, they were number one, and then they got outed, what, in regionals or super regionals? Didn't they, was it super regionals they got beat? They're like the number one team in the country, and they got beat in super regionals.
Mm-hmm, I think right? So, yeah.
You know, ever since that, they've not just been that dominant force. And another tough test, you go at Auburn on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, coming up for the Hogs, hey – we finally get a game on the SEC network. No plus. Hold the plus. Thursday.
Yeah. It's big 6 news o'clock. For everybody. That, yeah. You know,
no streaming. You
know, messages and text messages and people that, you know, hey, how can I watch the game if I don't have, you know, SEC plus? And it's just like, at this day, you know, I'm sorry. Until you get a provider that you can get it, you're kind of SOL there. But now everybody will be able to watch it.
Well, and again, hopefully next year that will change when they have that all-in-one streaming app and you'll be able to just watch all of the SEC channels, ESPN stuff. I guarantee, look, as much as we want to talk about football and stuff, you're gonna thank football because they're getting you these streaming deals. They're getting you all of these games because, look, they don't just want to pay millions and millions of dollars for just football. They're going to be able to have these ESPN Plus games and these streaming games for – basketball, baseball, anything now because of that money that's being dished out to every school.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to take a quick commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back after the break. We're going to talk about Coach Dyfel, GOAT status, 300th win, some spring football talk, and then we'll wrap it up with the gymnastics home finale record-breaking score.
Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarkville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials ensure to have everything you need. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck, plus our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Metters Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today and let's build something amazing together. Are you in need of legal representation? Look no further than the law offices Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson. As the oldest law firm in the River Valley, we have been serving our clients for over 100 years with locations in Ozark, Fort Smith, and Smith. Our experienced team of attorneys provide expert guidance and advocacy in a wide range of legal areas, including personal injury, family law, criminal defense, and more. Trust in our history and experience to the results you deserve. Contact the law offices of Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson today at 479-782-8813. That's 479-782-8813. Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks, stay for the friends. Searching for premium brewery products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
And welcome back to the Hog Talk Podcast. And we will start segment number two with talking about another GOAT status coach. Coach Courtney Dyfel recorded her 300th win as Bree Ellis returns to Auburn, and just they smashed them 2 games out of 3. The third game they fell up short, but talking about injuries and pitching, and again, Robin Heron felt a little tweak in her arm, got pulled, and Auburn took game 3. Arkansas still gets the series win over Auburn, and sitting at 23-6, overall, it's just, that was a good start for Arkansas, a good start for Coach Dyfel. You really, really hate to see another pitcher go down. Haven't heard any updates yet on her status yet, but you just look at over the years when you see this team starting to rise with autumn storms. You've seen it with Mary Half. You've seen it with Shanice Dels. You've seen it now with Robin Heron last year, and now again this year. You now need Linestock to really step up, Kamenzin to step up, McGaffin to step up, and really glue this team back together when it comes to pitching staff. You don't want to let that get a hold of you, and they come back and win 8-0 against, of course, you know, Texas A&M Commerce, but you've got Mississippi State at home Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. And so you really need them to be able to bounce back, you know, not get in their head of and just let it go. It's an injury. It happens. Hopefully she's back by the weekend. But if not, just got to rally around the team and know that this team's built for success. This team is built for the Super Regionals. Hopefully, you know, Oklahoma City, and just hope for the best of Robin's recovery and continue more wins. And here's to 400 for Coach Dyfel.
I think this team is built for the long run. I think that somebody's going to come up and fill in for if needed, for whether it's short term, long term, whatever. You know, it's something that I think they've looked at what's happened in the past when others have gone down. So you kind of try to prepare for it as best you can. So, you know, injuries always suck, but at the same time, I don't think it'll harm them too much.
Yeah, but that's where you have the batting power. And we talk about freshman phenoms and freshmen leading the team in batting average. She is second in RBIs on the team and tied for second in home runs with six. No, third. Hannah Gamble's got 7 home runs. And what a, you know, you're talking about Hannah Gamble. Everybody was counting her out at one point. You know, yes, she's hitting only .216, but 7 home runs and sitting at 18 RBIs on the season. You know, she's come in clutch when needed. But, man, you're batting .448 as a freshman. 6 home runs, 25 RBIs. How can you not be the leading candidate? I know, and this is where it gets quirky. When you go to these SEC awards, it only goes off SEC play. So keep that in mind. It's almost like starting this weekend, the stats stop and start again.
Mm-hmm.
So we run into this issue. It was crazy a couple years ago when we could have had 3 of them be SEC Player of the Year. You had it was Gibson, KB Sides, and Lenny Malkin. All of them were in vying position for that top. And what it was is KB Sides ended up coming out ahead. It had to do with the SEC stats. And just, I mean, it was a tough – you could have went either way. I mean, we were trying to debate on who would have been. But just got to keep this game going and hopefully – the bats stay hot, because that's the one thing that's really kind of plagued the team as well. As you go through these 2, 3, 4 inning lulls, or you just go cold a couple of games. Same thing with the baseball. You know, you can't go dropping series, especially when you got a series coming up at home against Mississippi State. You've got to keep your foot on the pedal and win these series.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch Mississippi State at all. I mean, I see that they're 21-6. Something around that, 21st in the country. So I think it'll be a bit of a bigger test than the men will have in baseball. But at the same time, when you get into SEC play, it's tough. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for it. Hopefully with the guys being away at Auburn this weekend, that they'll have everybody show up to the softball field to show out, if you will.
Yeah, and look, man, I'm just being dead honest. I mean, when I knew this program was on a different level is when LSU was in town and they still sold out for softball and Hunter Yurcheck was in the stands. I mean, that's when I knew that things are changing. And when you've got a temperature in the 30s and 40s and you're selling out, legit selling out, not none of this, because I've been at those games. Me and Paul Boy would laugh when they announced there was 1,800 people in the stands at Bogle, and it was 40 degrees outside on a Sunday morning and hardly anybody there, you know. But no, I mean, they have legit, it was this year, you know, breaking home records already. So the weather's getting warmer, the days are getting longer, and more people are going to file into Bogle Park. And I will say this, if you're happening to be one of the lucky ones that get to park in 56D up there at U of A, I would build a canopy over your car because they're launching them out there.
Yeah, I expect. I mean, you got 2 o'clock game Saturday and a noon game on Sunday, but that Friday night game 6 o'clock. I mean, I would expect folks to leave work and head there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's always one of those that you see when it's right at pitch, you're like, oh my gosh, there's not anybody here, and then you wait 5-10 minutes, and then. But you know, you've got to realize when you go to these games, where the line fills up. There's 2 separate lines: one to get in the berm, and then there's a line that starts going into the softball, and it goes all the way to the gardens, and all the way into Lot 56. So I mean, there's, you know, they open the gates an hour early, but I mean, there's still people filing in to get in and watch Coach Dyfel and the squad. And yes, again, if you can make it out to Bogle Park this weekend, do ticket prices, $10. I mean, you go out in the berm, they're always bringing out food trucks and the snow cone trucks and I don't know exactly what the weather is going to be like this weekend, but you're definitely in for a show every time you go catch out the team at Bogle Park. Moving on to spring football. Adam, I don't know how much you've been able to kind of pay attention to spring ball. I kind of, you know, there's going to be a lot of hype. There's going to be a lot of things going on when it comes to spring ball, but spring ball is what it is. It's just, it's like summer ball. You know, it's practice, it's hype, it's trying to get everybody bought into the new season. And to be honest, it's like I'm with this all, really all the sports when it comes to it. You know, I want to see change in production. I want to see it on the field in production. So I don't get too hyped up about the spring, but we don't get that much coverage when we, you know, us here, you know, we don't get to look inside and see what's going on inside, but – you know, you're always going to see the ones from the inside that what they do, what they get to cover, that there's good things showing from Talen Green. But to me, I want to see that offensive line. I want to see what they're able to do on the line, if they're able to run the ball, if they're able to give him space where he can throw it, if he can get out of the pocket. Because that's what the biggest thing is. If they're not able to block anybody next year, it doesn't matter what you're doing in spring and summer camp. If he's not able to get out of the pocket, you're going to see more of the same thing that you got last year.
So what I've seen so far, you know, early on, I saw a lot of photos and video of Coach Pittman with the offensive line, a lot more than I think we've seen in the past in any of the practices that they've put out. So, you know, that was, to me, a positive to see. Maybe he's backing off some of the other things and, you know, he's going to the problem child, if you will, of positions on the team. So, you know, that's been a positive. I think that, you know, I know they said there's QB competition that they'll be like naming a starter, I think, fairly soon, just so that get that out of the way. So there's not speculation, there's not question. You know, I think just with everything that's happened, portal players, et cetera, I think it's going to be Talen Green. He's been the one taking the snaps with the ones. One thing that I've seen with this so far, we've actually been tackling, which we didn't see last season in spring practice. So the fact that they're actually out there tackling this early, to me, is a good thing. You got to stop worrying about potential injuries and this and that and just actually go out there and hit somebody.
You got to wrap up. You got to quit this shoulder stuff and trying to lay somebody. I mean, you got to wrap up. That's where a lot of it is. Everybody wants to either strip it or just shoulder check them. You can't do that when you're 6'2", 180, and you got a guy 6'2", 240 coming at you, or a guy 6'6", 210 just stacked coming over, or 6'4", 240, dude, coming over the middle, and you just runs you over. You can't – yeah, you might lower your shoulder, but guess what? That's going to get you hurt. That's going to get you injured, and then you're sitting on the sidelines. But to your point about the whole quarterback controversy, look, Bobby P's got an open playbook this time. He's got full reins. I think it's very important you know who your starter is right now, because that way it gives you more time for him to learn the offense, more time with the ones, because, look, this is not going to be a simplified offense. Mm-mm. We heard how simplified the offense was for KJ, and it's not going to be this way. Because, look, Bobby Petrino is coming in to win. Just like his famous statement, we didn't come here to paint, we come here to play. So, you know what's in store for this offense. And you give Talen or whoever's ready. And look, Bobby Petrino, he's a grandpa now. He's kind of calm, but I'm telling you, when he gets in the coaching room or he gets on that practice field, I guarantee he's still the same person. And if you're not ready for the occasion, he's going to the next person. So that being said, whoever he feels comfortable with to go to get the green light right now, that's who he's going to go with. And I guarantee it's always going to be up for discussion. But I just think where we're at as a program, especially with the cadence, the blocking, knowing who's behind you at center, it's very important to – go ahead and do that now, because you got all of spring, summer camp to know who your starter is.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that I heard from Luke has, you know, in one of the post-practice pressers that he was in was talking about quarterbacks that he has played with. And so you can go back to KJ and then high school.
Yeah.
he stated that he felt like Talen Green was – sorry for the dog.
Oh, you're good. It's
yeah.
He's got something to say, too. I don't know.
He said that Talen Green was probably like the more or less best leader that he's played with when it came to – and I think that that's one – a lot of people, I think, took it as a shot directly to KJ, and I don't think it's necessarily that. I think that maybe that there's more of a voice that we didn't see previously. I know that that was asked of KJ in the past to be more of a voice for the offense, voice of the team, and we didn't really see it. And so I'm just taking it as a positive. It wasn't a shot to anybody. He's talking about the quarterback that he's currently playing with, so it's not like he's going to sit there and dog him by any means. But, you know, the one that of the transfers that I really am looking forward to seeing is Jaquindon Jackson, the running back from Utah. And yes, it's little things, too. I mean, he's got great burst, great size, but, you know, the biggest thing from him from going back and watching some of his tape at Utah was it's a running back that can pick up a block.
Yes.
Because oh my gosh, that is something that has been missing from this team.
And, you know, also being able to catch the ball out of the backfield and make something mm-hmm. of it. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the blocking schemes and holding blocks. You have a guy that if he isn't blocking, he's able to get out in the flat and make something happen, a bubble screen or shot to the flat, or get behind the line in between him, the line and the linebackers, and get 3-4 yards, get, you know, bailout plays.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, has when you've got a mobile quarterback and you've got guys in pursuit of the quarterback, having that, you know, you got your guys downfield, but having that tight end kind of hang back right there in the zone, I mean, that's going to give you first downs. That's going to give you – and you got two guys, you know, coming back at tight end that can make some big plays when they have the ball. And that's going to be a huge factor, especially in this Bobby Petrino offense of, yes, he's going to have his guys that go downfield, but having these two tight ends that can really set the tone, block, then you got a running back who can block.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that transitions into a totally different team when they get the field, you know, come out this summer.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know the spring game is coming up, I think, on April 13th. So we know how those spring games go. It's a glorified practice, you know, scripted, choreographed, whatever, to an extent. I'm excited to see him out. I mean, I'm still not going to be – this season is hype season, or this off season is. We see it every year, the videos, the push, whatever. And so I'm just trying to not, like, overanalyze things, overhype things, just because we've seen it before and we've seen how things have turned out. So I'm just taking it for what it is, what I see in the practice videos that are put out, and just rolling with it, you know, until they step on the field, whenever the first game is, early September, late August, whatever that date is. There's a long time between now and then. So, you know, it's one of those, there's going to be things that happen between now and then that we maybe didn't see coming, and that's not a precursor to anything. That's just the way it goes sometimes. I think that it's going to be a good thing to have another former head coach and Bobby Petrino on the sideline, or with Pittman, to kind of help work through some decisions.
If I could name what this season will be, I would call it the revival. You know, you always, like, if you have these revivals at church and stuff, it's just trying to gathering the masses, getting everybody hyped up, and, you know, having somebody come speak, and it's just a bunch of, it's hype and getting everybody excited. That's what it is when you brought in Bobby Petrino. That's what it is when you're in the state of your program right now, where you need an uplifting, you need a change, you need a revival to, you know, change this program around. That's what it's going to take. Get everybody excited. The fan base is shook. You know, mm-hmm. fan base is in shambles. I'm sorry. And you can say what you want, and it's not anything against anybody, whether it's with the university or the fans, because they have the right to feel this way and they deserve it. But it's going to take an SEC win or two to change this around. It's going to show that even if you didn't win, you're playing with this team. You're not giving up. And back on that KJ thing, you got a guy that's coming in that's not complacent. He's coming in to prove a point and fight for a job. Name the last quarterback that had to do that, Felipe Franks. And he fought, and look what he did for this program. And KJ had it easy because he didn't have anybody to compete against. He didn't have a legit somebody that was behind him that was a legit threat for his job, and he got complacent. It's all there is to it. He's a great quarterback, but, I mean, he'll go down as one of the greatest to play. I know his decision probably changes that, but you can't take away from what he did, but he could have been a lot better than what he was if he would have had somebody to maybe push him a little bit.
Well, I mean, just look back when Petrino was here previously. I mean, there's the story that Tyler Wilson has told that, you know, Ryan Mallett was the one, but if he was late for a practice, he got to work with the twos. And Tyler Wilson, I mean, the point Bobby was proving is you were late, so somebody else is taking your spot for the practice. But what that did is it got Tyler Wilson ready. And I think that that's what you have to do in these situations with, you know, quarterbacks is, like you're saying, getting complacent. You just kind of, you know, it's your job, so maybe you're not working as hard. And you've got somebody behind you that's ready, that's eager, that's wanting to prove themselves. I mean, I think that to an extent they need to be looking over their shoulder. So, and I think that's what, I mean, and that's what Petrino has typically done with his teams that he's coached.
Yeah, and we'll see. You know, that's what it is. And I think the fact that you bring Bobby Petrino in, yeah, there's a lot of hype surrounding the return of him and hoopla, and you're going to have the games, you know, the first game at, you know, War Memorial Stadium, the first game at W. Reynolds Stadium. It's going to be emotional. It's, you get all that, the theatrics out of the way. And then when SEC play comes or that second or third game in, hey, look, it's time to go. All right, the newness wore off. Welcome back. It's time to get back in. It's time to play. That's when you're going to see him really, and it might happen the second half of the first game. I just know there's going to be a spot where it's going to be emotional for him. It's going to be where, okay, yeah, I'm the coach. We've been practicing, but you really step on that field that first game. That's it, it's going to hit you. And there's going to be nerves. There's going to be this and that. But I think for the most part, the overwhelming welcoming that he did receive, we've seen the plane flying over Bud Walton Arena. You know, just the overwhelming reaction of him coming back is going to make it a little bit easier on him, but he does know the pressure. And you're talking about somebody that needs to be looking over their shoulder. You got a head coach and an OC that's coming in that Hunter Yurchek's taking a huge gamble on to make this thing work.
The season's going to say a lot for the future of the program, whether it's new head coach, new everything, new staff. I mean, this is the season of nut up or shut up time.
Yeah. Yeah, drop your nuts and it's time. And I said last year was the most important season for Sam Pittman. It's this. I mean, this one. Yeah. I mean, by a wide margin. This is it. You brought in Bobby Petrino to save your program and to get this thing back on track, and it's time to do it. And hopefully they can get it done because, again, we've said it time and time again. You know, Arkansas fans and the Arkansas football program, they deserve to have 80, 70, 80, 90,000 people watching you in October and November. That's what the fan base deserves, not 80, 78,000 people watching on an August or your opening SEC game. It needs to carry on through, and that hype needs to continue on to basketball season and success in basketball season, which later on in offseason we'll continue to know more about that, and we'll dive more into that our next show on Thursday. But, you know, we'll end the show on the Gymbacks, Lady Backs gymnastics team, ended their home meet with a 198-1, the third time this year they have broke a program record. And kind of what we started the show with and kind of the downward trajectory of one program, we're seeing a significant rise. I've said it multiple times. This is the new team. This is that team that's stepped up, and they've gradually gotten better. But this year, Adam, I mean, they've just knocked it out of the park.
I'm excited to see how they perform in the SEC championships coming up this weekend. And that one will be on SEC Network. Yep. So, you know, it's one of those things that take a gander and, you know, check and follow up, check and see when they're going, when they're performing, take a watch because, yeah, it's, you know, I haven't watched a whole lot. I have watched a few of the meets and, you know, I don't always necessarily know what I'm watching until I see the scores, but it's, you know, at the same time, It's progressive. They've gotten more and more attention from the media and more respect from, you know, the programs that have been dominant for so many years, that we're starting to see that this is starting to come full circle for Jordan Weaver.
Yeah, and you, when you bring in a coach like Jordan Weaver, of course, you're looking for flair. You're looking somebody who's won an Olympic gold medal, but then you surround yourself with Chris Brooks, Kyle Bryant, and Kyler Ross. You just see how much they bring to the table and what they've done to this program. And when you bring in a roster full of transfers that have really just captivated this team and really just come on the scene, and you look at Lauren Williams, I mean, as a freshman was killing it, doing it again this year. You know, they're doing nothing but just, again, breaking records. And you just look at their schedule. We talked about it when we had Coach Weaver on, and the fact that you had to play number one, number two, back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
You had to meet against number five Florida, number six, I mean, number three, number five. You're playing, let's just go through the schedule. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 top five matchups this year. When you look at their schedule, and then top 10, I mean, you'd more so top 10, you know, it list keeps going and you're just getting better. So yes, it's going to be tough because when you look at the top five, I mean, you got Florida 6, LSU 5, Alabama 3, you know, so you did that gauntlet of a schedule and you finished 8-6 overall in the meets, 4-2 in conference.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty daggum good. And you can't forget you tied number three Alabama in Tuscaloosa back in January.
Yeah, that was a big one. And I know there was a lot of talk after the LSU one that maybe some home cooking that was going on there.
There is, yeah.
It comes with it. But you hope that this weekend on a supposed neutral territory that things will be in your favor, but we'll see on Saturday.
Yeah, and you look at fight boxing. You look at boxing, fighting, gymnastics, when you're letting humans judge and be technical and you've got three judges that are technically, yeah, and when you're seeing footage and evidence of somebody landing a certain way and then the same person landing better, but yet their score is worse. I mean, but look, it happens in the Olympics. It's happened for Arkansas's favorite. It's happened against Arkansas. I mean, that's just the way it goes when the judging, because again, you're a human element of things and how you're judging their lands, their twists. And of course, there's things that we don't even take account of as their preset routines that are, they already have a set score. So, I mean, that's a lot of it when it comes into the gymnastics. Diving's the same way. You see when somebody goes for a dive, they're like, okay, this is a difficulty. And then they judge that off of that difficulty. So, very exciting. You know, we talked about it the first show. You know, that just, we talked about it last week. All of the sports that are doing so successful, it makes it, you need women's basketball to kind of just be that one that just, all right, let's go. Same way with football on the men's side. You just have all, look, man, what do you think? We'll end it on this question and we'll wrap it up. What would you feel like the University of Arkansas would be fan base wise, the stadiums, if you just had year round success, like just 1 year of just year round success in all the sports leading from football all the way to softball, how crazy would you think it would be in Fayetteville?
Well, it would be borderline insane. And I mean, we can look back at the 21 season when, you know, it kind of started in football and it trickled along into other sports. I mean, you saw weekly that, you know, like there were different posts being made on all the different programs that had been ranked top 15, ranked altogether. I mean, it was just a weekly thing that was being talked about. The vibe, the fans, the you know, we could get over a loss here and there. And it all carried from one sport to another. Whereas this season, I think football, the being down as a fan, as the team, et cetera, carried, you know, we were looking for basketball to be that savior, and then it wasn't it. And so now more pressure is put on baseball. I mean, it's just kind of, it would almost be surreal if, you know, the planets aligned and everything just worked out for a calendar year.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But well, that will do it for all of this episode of Hog Talk Podcast. Again, if you don't have the Autograph app yet, download the Autograph app, put in the promo code Hog Talk. One-stop shop for all your things Razorback sports. You don't have to go on Facebook or look at this article. You don't have to go to, you know, you don't have to go to Hog Talk on the Facebook to look at a podcast or watch a podcast. You don't have to go to Best of Arkansas Sports to, you know, look at their articles. Everything's there. The only thing outside of that app is Pinto and Teeter do their spaces after games. Stay tuned for their lineup and what they do. But everybody that's involved with the Autograph app, it's going to be a big thing when it comes to especially fan bases like Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Download the app. You've got everything at your hands. Could sit there and listen to podcasts while you're reading articles. It's going to be a big thing. When it really wants to start catching fire. And when they start dropping ticket prices to these games and you're able to go to an Alabama football game for $16 or, you know, they have these specials for basketball, football, and baseball games, it's really going to be awesome once they really, the fans really get to participate and take full advantage of this app. So, again, go to your phone right now, Apple, download the Autograph app, put in the promo code HOGTALK, download, enjoy. And Adam, got anything else, man?
No, I mean, I'm on an Autograph app every single day. The biggest thing that I like on it is, you know, getting the points for everything that you do. So reading an article, clicking this, clicking that. You know, I take pride in being at the top of that leaderboard week in and week out.
There you go.
So, you know, even if it's just coming to knock me off the top spot, feel free.
There you go. We're going to talk to Arkansas track and field women's head coach tomorrow at 4 p.m. I'll probably do a pre-recorded interview with him, plug that in on a show maybe later tomorrow night, or he might add it to the end of our show on Thursday. But I'm really looking forward to talking to Coach Johnson. I mean, again, first-year head coach, you're already winning a national championship. So, I mean, I don't know how you can go up from there, but I'm sure he's got a plan for it. But that will do it for At Hall. I am Porter Hayes, brought to you by Bet Online, Sterling Soap, and Roastery, and also Believe Network. We'll catch you on Thursday.